I want to remind you again that John Arterbury is having the tapes ready after every service. You can get a tape of the service or the preaching. And Bill Ott is putting the prophecies and the things on the pastor's page on www. So if you look at it on Monday, you'll see there's another prophecy on there. It's the one that April gave will be on the internet along with Stan's backup. So the Lord is helping us. And Bill is doing it. Lord, we do thank you. As we see intensity increasing, we see the demands increasing, we see you moving forward and giving us understanding and helping us. So I pray, Lord, your Spirit will be with everyone on this property tonight. Grant that everyone gets something from Jesus. Help us, Lord. We need help. And I pray you will help us. And we pray in your name. Amen. Now, there goes Andrew, just the one I wanted to nail. That's all right. He'll get the DVD. I want to look at that. I want to show you something in Acts, the second chapter. Now, this is really very important, I think, very significant. But you'll have to be the judge of that. It's in Acts, the second chapter. The first question asked of the Christian church as to how we're supposed to get saved. I'm talking, Andrew, about the very approach we make to the unsaved, and in this case to the saved also, because they've only been given half a loaf. And I'll explain that as I go along, God willing, from some verses in Ephesians. But I want you to look at something here, and I want you to think rather profoundly about it. The first question is in Acts 2, and it looks like verse 37. And the Holy Spirit was praying, and they asked Peter what they should do. Now, Andrew, you're as privy to the way evangelicals operate. And if you ask an evangelical what you must do to be saved, what does he probably say?
Let Jesus in your heart.
Yeah, exactly. And see, that is not scriptural. The scripture for let Jesus into your heart has to do for the last days. It's in the last church, the church of Laodicea. And Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And it has to do with that which Stan has been preaching on Tuesday nights, which comes from the 14th chapter of John, where Jesus said that he would make himself known to his disciples, but not to the world. And that's an inner revelation, and it's for the end time, for those who keep Christ's commandments. It is the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's nothing to present to a person that you're inviting to get saved. It is for Christians who are living in a Laodicean society. That is a society which is emphasizing the rights of man. That's our generation. And it is true. I had to remark to myself when the lady was pleading for the Lord to come into her heart, you don't know what happens when the Lord comes into your heart. Believe me. Whoa! You're really asking for a lot. And it isn't all roses and candy by any means. It isn't even all pancakes, Jemima. Nobody else even remembers that probably, but I'm a pancake fan. So notice how Peter answered, because it's extremely significant. He said, repent. And you'll find throughout the book of Acts that whenever the gospel was preached, the word was repent. They did not say, they did not emphasize, they did emphasize the forgiveness of sins. They did. In the book of Acts, the forgiveness of sins is emphasized. But if you'll notice, as you're reading Acts, you'll find it's always in the context of repentance. And there's a reason for that. See, we're preaching today to people, let Jesus into your heart and he will forgive your sins. It's totally unscriptural. Jesus didn't say, let me into your heart and I'll forgive your sins. He said, we will dine. He didn't say anything about forgiving sins. So we've got a crazy way in which we approach the unsaved. Now, repentance, the word repent is all that it takes to get your sins forgiven. See, what the Lord is not saying, if you ask me, I'll forgive your sins. That's what we preach today. What the Lord says is change your behavior and I'll forgive your sins. That's rad. That is so important in our day because we are facing in America. I'm telling you, when you read the newspaper, you see people are freaking out. They absolutely are freaking out. And I told Audrey on the way down, don't look for sanity in the schools. Don't look for sanity in the government. Don't look for sanity in the military. Don't look for sanity in the banks, because all you're going to see is a mess. And so each church, mom, a bastion of sanity to keep people's, so they can remember the difference between right and wrong, because that's what's up for grabs. Like homosexual marriage, for example. See, the church, it is not the business of the church to condemn gays. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to maintain sanity, especially for the young people. Think of Isabel at her age. If things have changed so much in my lifetime that they're unbelievable, what's it going to be like when she's in her 80s? Because our country is freaking out. The things that people, you probably read about the young man, this is a couple of days ago, young man, you know, you can take a moving picture of yourself and project so that the viewers on MySpace can see you and what you're doing. I'm sure all the kids know that. You can show on the MySpace a moving picture of you in real time. Well, this young man told everybody on MySpace or a similar program like that kind, there's about three of them, I think, I'm going to commit suicide. And he told him how he was going to do it. And he had his pills in his hand. He says, I'm going to commit suicide. He wanted everybody on the MySpace or YouTube, whatever it was, to watch him commit suicide. So he took the pills. Well, see, there's a rapport there where people can speak back and forth. Some of them were urging him to do it. Some were saying, don't do it. Some were saying, OMG. Do you know what that means? If you're not into text messaging, you don't know what OMG is. It's a current favorite among the kids. Oh, my God. But right on there, while they're watching, this boy died. He died. Well, the YouTube did nothing about it. The people watching did nothing about it, and they finally fiddle around, and I think if I read it correctly, it was 12 hours before the police were notified, and this young man was lying dead all that time, and they were watching his body and commenting on it. Well, the parents are outraged, because they said, you let my son die there right in front of you, and nobody notified the police. Now, that kind of thing may make sense. We have several young people here tonight, and I don't pretend to understand the way they think. I don't pretend to understand that. But I do know the difference between right and wrong, and I know that's wrong. I know that's wrong. Somebody should have acted immediately It's possible he could have been resuscitated, because the drugs don't strike you dead like a knife in your heart. It takes a while for your system to assimilate the drugs and finally stop your heart. So he probably could have resuscitated. But what I'm telling you is, our country is freaked out. They're losing the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Now, Romans talks about that, that if you get into homosexuality and other things, God gives you, it's first chapter of Romans, a mind void of judgment. Romans 1. And that talks about lesbians, homosexuals and all, and about people themselves, etc. And it says, God will give you a mind void of judgment. So it's going to be up to the churches to keep sanity, because it isn't going to be given in the schools. They're teaching kindergarten kids about the alternative lifestyles. Kindergarten. That's freaked out people. Those are five-year-old people. And they're giving them books like My Two Mommies and this kind of thing. I'm not criticizing people. The church has broken down, and I'm going to explain that in a minute. Why it broke down, how it broke down, why it keeps on breaking down. And you can't look to the schools. I've been in the schools for years, and I'm telling you, they get freaked out so easily. The teachers do, the good people, but they get freaked out. So do the administrators. I've been through it. So there's no hope in the schools. And there's no hope in a lot of the churches, because they don't know what they're doing. Like, who's that lady that we like now, that singer? What's her name that sang that we did the skit? That everybody likes her, Missy Edwards. Missy Edwards, it's like she said, I had a vision of a mega church and the people were plastic. There's no life there. And you see, I feel responsible for the young people. I want them to be sane. I want them to be able to distinguish between right and wrong and not get fuzzed up from the electronics to where they don't know really what's right. Is it really right? You know, what are people saying? Blah, blah, blah. Somewhere they've got to hear this is right and that is wrong. That's sanity. That's just old-fashioned sanity. Because to leave a dead body while people are commenting on it for 12 hours, brother and sister, is not sane. And it doesn't excuse it because it was on YouTube. It's nuts. And it never should have happened. But the boy's dead. Why he wanted to do it in front of everybody? Maybe it was a silent cry for help. I don't know what would motivate him to want young people to see him kill himself. I don't know. But I know it's not sane. That much I know. They're not going to rock my brain. I live long enough, I think, that I can distinguish the difference between what is sane and what is insane. So if we have to quit reading the papers, look at the internet and the television to keep our sanity, so be it. But I feel responsible. Now, this fact that we all agree that Peter's answer was not what is being preached by evangelists today, something is wrong. And you don't go home and say, well, you know, I wonder, will I have nightmares if I eat the whole pizza? That's the way we do in America. And that's what the Lord told Misty, told her. He said, that's what's evil, is the complacent person. He said, it isn't the war, it isn't all the chaos, that's not evil. He said, it's the complacent person. So I hope, and of course what I'm saying will be on the tape, possibly be on a television, I hope people, within the sound of my voice, stop and say, we're doing something wrong. And maybe there'll be an outstanding pastor somewhere like John MacArthur or some other man that has the attention, Dr. Dobson or somebody, it will dawn on him, what we're doing is wrong. And you can't go against the Bible and prosper. You can't go against the Bible, make up your own gospel and prosper. That's what God told Joshua, was scared out of his Levi's. Be strong and of a good courage. You know, I kept saying that because Joshua was afraid to faint with Moses going, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. And he says, pay attention to this book of the law. Meditate in it. Do what it says. We haven't done it. We're preaching a different gospel from Paul. And it comes from, and I'll try to trace this if I have time. I really get shook up. But it's due to the Reismanism. It has to do with humanism. Because, you see, the idea of humanism is that people are more important than anything, including God. So we can't go tell them that they've got to repent. What we've got to tell them is that Christ, you know what the slogan is? Can you believe this? Can you believe it? That grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And if that isn't humanism, I never heard of it. Because grace is not God's riches at Christ's expense. Every one of us have to take up our cross. So, Andrew, we're wrong. Now, all that a person has to do to receive forgiveness of sins is repent. Because, as I pointed out this morning in 1 John 2:2, the sacrifice already has been made. He died for the sins of the whole world. Well, how do you appropriate it? You don't say, Lord, forgive my sins. You say, I will repent. The Lord says, repent, and I'll forgive you. I've already died for your sins. Repent. Change. Now, having said that, the best way to repent is to say to Jesus, you are my King, and from now on I will do what you say. That's all you need to do to get your sins forgiven. Now, Peter did not say that. And this, Andrew, I'll have to defer to the DVD. In the morning, I told why the emphasis on Jesus as King has changed. I explained it and gave several scriptures to show why now we won't answer as Peter did. We won't answer like that. Because the coming of Christ is so near. It's all, you'll see, I gave a pot full of scriptures this morning to show that salvation is to be revealed in the last time. Now the Lord is saying, when you go to somebody to get them saved, all you have to say is, will you accept Christ as your King? If they say yes, Christ will forgive all their sins. Well, read it. Repent. You don't have to go to Jesus and say, will you forgive my sins? That's not scriptural. You have to repent. And what you repent of is living your own life instead of living in Jesus. That's what you repent of. And the more you do, your sins are forgiven. Because he already died to forgive them. You don't have to go through that again. What God is interested in is obedience. I want to say another thing. Faith. How many have ever heard the word faith? F-A-I-T-H. Silent I. Faith is a synonym of obedience. Come on. You think of the freaked out stuff like, if I have faith, I'll be rich. If I have faith, I won't have any trouble. If I have faith, I can command the angels. If I have faith, I can command the spiritual lords over a community. Freaked out thinking with strong overtones of humanism. I heard someone in Bible school say that a preacher preached a sermon called God in the Hands of a Man. And I thought, dear Lord, don't ever let that happen. They were probably referring to Jacob wrestling with the angel. I haven't traced it. I looked it up on Google and I couldn't find the expression. But I know that some preacher sometime preached on God in the hands of a man. Listen, the reason Jacob prayed like he did, he thought Esau was going to kill him. There's nothing in the Bible that says Esau was going to kill him or had any hostile intentions toward him. But let's say that he did. Now, are you hearing me? Jacob's prayer did not change God's mind. Because God already told Jacob, you're going to inherit the inheritance of Abraham. And so God had no intention of allowing Jacob to be murdered by Esau. Jacob didn't change that. He didn't change God's mind. God had already said that Jacob was going to survive and have the inheritance of Abraham. God in the hands of a man. Dear Lord, deliver us. God is in the hands of a man. I feel sorry for the people that the man doesn't like. Too bad for them. This idea that our job is to move God is wrong. And I faced it first in Bible school. Now, when I come into Bible school, 1948 I'm talking about, I'd only been a Christian for 3 or 4 years. All I knew was what they told me about the Scofield Bible. That's about all I knew because I was not raised in church. And what I was told in Bible school, the idea was, if you don't get busy and do something, all these souls are going to go to hell. Well, I thought to myself, doesn't God have a program? Is he waiting for me to decide? Does God know what he's doing? Is he waiting for me to save all these souls? Does he have a program for Southeast Asia? Or am I supposed to go out and go through the rice paddies till I fall over and drown? That's what they preached. The big thing was burnout for Christ. In other words, work so hard that you finally have a breakdown. This is sensible. I heard more garbage in Bible school that Jesus spoke in parables so that people would remember it. I heard such garbage. Well, I thought something's wrong here. I've told you 18 times that I told the Lord, I will do your will. Just tell me what it is. I'm not going to live in this kind of defeated tension. You couldn't even eat your lunch because 10 people might have went to hell while you're eating your lunch. So I told the Lord, I'm going to do your will. I don't care what it is. I'm going to do it. I wasn't married at the time. No brothers and sisters. Here's your man. But I'm not going to live like this. I am not going to live with the idea that God does not know what he's doing. Well, that set me against everything that was being preached. What was being preached was that Brussels, the Antichrist was a computer in Brussels. There's going to be no more revivals. This was just before the charismatic renewal. All kinds of junk. So I thought, I can't defy the whole church establishment. This is wrong, right? Wrong, right? My mind went like this. Do I dare trust what I'm thinking? And I finally thought, if I don't go by what I believe, I'm not my own man. And I am absolutely not going to go that way. It's wrong. So I stood my ground. From 1948 to 2008, 60 years. I said, I'm going to do what I believe is sensible and right and scriptural. And I'm not going to be a party of this, that God is waiting for someone to change his mind. God has a plan. He knows what he's doing. And we don't have to change it. What we have to do is find out what it is. And I told you this morning, please, I know I yell, I understand that, so have mercy. Because I do get excited, even at my old age I get excited. But I said, I'm not gonna go with this. If God doesn't know what he's doing, we're sunk. Well, now what do we have? We have a nice picture in the United States, don't we? It's lovely. We have 1 million fetuses a year being murdered, something like that. We have all kinds of crazy morality, and what I expect next is animalism and incest, all legalized, because there's no difference in theory, only public sentiment. So I expect that's coming up next. Every kind of ungodly thing, like a young man committing suicide, nobody doing anything, and then people want to pray, oh God, save our country. What kind of brains is that? You know, it reminds me of the weather reports, and that drives me nuts, and I don't look at them all the time. But do you know what we need in this area? Rain. R-A-I-N. Rain. So what do they say on the weather reports? Oh, another sunny day. I think, what is wrong with you? We need a sunny day like we need nothing. We need rain, 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 rain for about 6 months to fill up Lake Hodges. When we came, Lake Hodges was a lake. When we moved here. Can you believe that? Lake Hodges was a lake when we moved here, Tony. Now look at it. Oh, it's another sunny day. It's wonderful. I think it's the Chamber of Commerce preaching to the people in New York. Because we don't need another sunny day. But that's an example of the kind of thing goes on. And I forgot what I was talking about. I got so all that crazy stuff. We don't want God to protect the United States until something is done about the abortion. So then what do? We don't pray, God save the country and make us all prosperous. Save Wall Street, save Citibank, save all the rest of them. That's not our prayer. Our prayer is, God stop the abortion. And when I go to that, and when I pray that, and I'm very distressed about abortion, it's important to me, the murder of the innocent, what God says, it's too late. He said, what you are to do is to warn God's people to save themselves and their loved ones by serving me with all their hearts, because your nation will no longer be a world leader. And if you look, and I've been saying this for a couple of years, if you notice, that's what all the prophets are saying, talking about now. That America's going down, America's going down, America's going down. And when you're praying for America to come up, you're fighting against God. Now, I told him this morning, Andrew, about that place when Israel had gone over the line. All the palace prophets are saying, oh, don't worry, king. In 2 years, Nebuchadnezzar will be destroyed. Babylon will be destroyed. All this old black. And along comes Jeremiah. He says to the king, go over to Babylon and surrender. And the king didn't know. The king did not obey Jeremiah. And some of the nobles got shook up and had him put in prison, put in a cistern, and an Ethiopian lifted him out before he drowned. But he told the truth. It was too late. It was no use praying for Jerusalem. They had already gone past their day of repentance. And so has America. What are you going to do about it? Wring your hands? No. What you're going to do about it is remember what I told you, that the Lord told me at a pastor's meeting half a year ago, I'm going to do new and surprising things for those who will listen to me, forget the past, and do what I say. I think I know what the new and surprising things are. God wants us to preach to Christians and the unsaved alike. Accept Jesus as your personal King and do everything He tells you. Never mind the Savior. The Savior will take care of itself because the Savior is forgiveness of sins, and that is automatic when you repent. Peter, what do? Repent. He didn't say ask God to forgive your sins. He says repent, because in God's sight, the forgiveness is already there. What you have to do is repent, meaning change. Well, repent doesn't mean we change from one church to another. It means we start living for Christ instead of for ourselves. That's true repentance. What you're repenting from is your self-determination. Right? Can you see why that lesson is applicable to Christian people? They have never been taught that. They have been taught, let Jesus into your heart. Like, isn't it wonderful? He'll come and there's a garden. When He comes, He tears up the countryside. You let Jesus into your heart, you're going to have second thoughts about it, because He has strong ideas on how things should be. It's not, oh, nice, isn't it? I love you and everything. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You don't even have to say you love Him. You don't have to say that. Keep His commandments, and He knows you love Him. That's how you show your love for Jesus. It's by doing what He says, not saying, oh, Lord, I love you. He says, if you love me, do what I'm telling you. What a different gospel. It's the original gospel. What we have today in the churches is another gospel. Paul would not recognize it, telling people, let Jesus into your heart, and never telling them that He's their King and they have to do what He says. They say, well, you're saved by grace, so you don't have to do what He says. How's that for a lie from hell? You don't have to do what He said. You're saved by grace. He loves you so much, He could never let you suffer for 1 minute. After all, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. There's nothing you have to do. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Can you imagine? They said to the Apostle Peter, brothers, what shall we do? And he says, you don't have to do anything. Christ did it all. All you have to do is believe and say, I believe, and raise up your hand. You're fine. Let Jesus into your heart. You won't find it in the book of Acts. What you'll find over and over is repent, repent for the forgiveness of sins. Repent, repent. Well, check it out, dear ones, and see if your dear old pastor is telling you the truth. And listen, it's not all that hard. I don't know about you, but I'm a type A person, which means I am very tight, very constrained. Everything has to be a certain way. You know, that's it. And when it isn't, I am gross upset. How marvelous to let Jesus do it, and I don't have to. This is good news to me. It's not bad news at all. It's good news. Because I don't have to fight and make everything like it's supposed to be. Just rest in the Lord. And when it comes to sin, do what God said. Confess it. Denounce it. Renounce it. Get rid of it. Now, I want to rehearse this other so that Andrew and Yvonne and Isabel can see it. It's in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. First chapter. We'll get to the fourth chapter later. But I want you to see something remarkable. Andrew never heard this before in his life. It's a good thing he came to church tonight, because he's going to hear something he's never heard before. Where's Isabel? How do you expect her to know anything if she's just married? I mean, you got to start these kids early. Things are moving fast. You wait and see. By the time she's four, she'll know more about the computer than you do. Kids are getting awful smart. Now, if they can apply a little wisdom along with the smartness, it'll be a marvelous thing. Now, Ephesians 1:7. Now, Andrew, you've got to notice this. You've got to quit fooling around back there and pay attention. Now, in Him, and of course that's Jesus, we have redemption. Now, redemption means buying back something that was forfeited or sold or you lost in a battle. That's what redemption means. It means we lost something. And the Redeemer has come, the one who won against the pawnbroker that held the mortgage on our life, namely Satan. That's what redeem means. Salvation is much the same thing with a little different twist to it. It's like the idea of pulling somebody out and they're drowning. All right, now, in Christ we have redemption through His blood. Through His blood. Okay? The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. All right, now, what I'm telling you is this is redemption, but it's the first part of redemption. You're not completely redeemed when you're forgiven, because God's intention is to make you in His image. So you're not completely redeemed from the hand of sin when you're forgiven. You could be forgiven and still be totally bound by Satan. And a lot of church people are. You want to find a nest of demons, go into your average church. You find all the demons you'll ever want. They're all in there. Love of preeminence, hatred, jealousy, bitterness, anger, division, immorality. Everything you can think of is in your average Christian church. We haven't been redeemed yet except in forgiveness. And that doesn't... Hey, I'm going to say something. Forgiveness does not make a kingdom. No. Forgiveness is a step that God takes to get at the actual work of redemption. I said this morning, it's like layaway. It's like layaway. It puts you under protection until the day of redemption comes, and it has begun. So things are going to change slowly, but they're going to change. Because the message of sheer forgiveness is not going to stand up in the American Holocaust that's on the way. People are going to have more than forgiveness to stand in the Holocaust. Because they'll be just swept right off their feet, them and their children with them, at the pressures that are going to be unleashed in the last days. So Jesus has given us a new and surprising thing, which is to accept Christ as our personal King. And then He will guide us during the American Holocaust. We will learn to follow Jesus and not live according to our own notions. A new and surprising thing to say to God's people, you've only got half a cake. You're forgiven, but you're not redeemed. You're not redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He still has you. Now, Andrew, with a certain adroitness, we go down to verse 14 in the same chapter. And Yvonne says, how can this be? All right. Now we find that we were marked with a seal. We were sealed. And I told you, it's like Christmas layaway. When you go down and you find a bargain, And you know you're going to want that for your Aunt Matilda. So you put down $5 or $10 and say, I want a layaway. That's what the forgiveness is. It's a layaway to protect you until the day of redemption, the salvation that is to come in Peter and Romans. And now look at this. Cast your eyeballs on verse 14. Who, referring to whom? Be careful. Oh, who, Abby? The Holy Spirit. I mean, you let Abby there know it and you don't know it? Good night. All right, the Holy Spirit is a deposit. Layaway. Okay? You don't have the money right now, but I want to hold that for Matilda. She'll love it. Until. And Abby this morning told us that meant it's something in the future. Until. That wonderful word, until. Meaning it ain't here yet. Right? Oh, it's so right. Until the redemption. See, you have redemption through the blood, but it's a down payment on the redemption to come. And the redemption to come is release from the image of Satan and all his works, especially your sinful nature that dwells in your flesh. That's redemption. You used to be a person that had to have preeminence. I mean, you came to the church, you had to be sure people saw you. You do something to make sure people saw you. You had to have the preeminence. But God wants that to go. That isn't giving you love, peace, and joy. You've got to be redeemed. Because that's a characteristic of Satan. One thing Satan dreads above all is to be ignored. So what does he do? He does all kinds of crazy, freaked out stuff. So all the right-wing newspapers publish it, which is exactly what he wants. He doesn't want people not to know what awful thing he has done. And we fall right into it. And fret and lose our joy and our hope. And you know, faith is a substance of things hoped for. We lose it because we say, Satan's winning. The evil are winning. The Democrats won. Democrats don't feel that that's wrong. But other people feel, you know, that was wrong. So I'm not going to comment on whether it's wrong or right. I'm telling you that we watch the antics of Satan, which is what he wants. He does not want to be ignored. He wants you to go around saying, you know, it's awful. You know what happened next? A kid committed suicide in front of the YouTube. And you know what happened after that? And you know what happened after that? That's what he wants. He does not want to be ignored. So if you love the preeminence, and God speaks to you tonight and says you love the preeminence, you've got to be showing off all the time. Ask the Lord to redeem you. Buy it back. That's the image of Satan. That's not the image of God. God is very reclusive, very, very humble. Christ wasn't born in a palace, in a barn. He wasn't showing off. He could have. He showed off a little bit on top of Mount Sinai. They had their own little 4th of July there with the Roman candles. A deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And there's Abby's word, until the redemption. It was a layaway. We say to people, and they're forgiven through the blood, it's a layaway. For 2,000 years, we've had a layaway. Hear that, Dr. Dobson. of those who are God's possession. Somebody, this important's got to get it. Of those who are God's possession till the praise of his glory. That bothered me in that song, which says, Christ in us is the hope of our glory. Ooh, that gives me the... I don't see it that way. I think it's the hope of God's glory. And then if this wasn't enough, we have 4:30, which we will go to forthwith. Ephesians 4:30. Just in case Andrew isn't convinced yet. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The day when God comes to his people and releases them from Satan. It's begun now. So what we say to people is not ask God to forgive your sins. What we say to them is, will you receive Christ and let him rule your life? That's the message. If they say yes, they have repented, because that's repentance, and their sins have been forgiven, and they'll be able to stand in the American Holocaust. Just as simple as that. And if they don't receive Christ as their personal king and continue to live according to their own desires, you won't stand, because if you think it's bad now, it's going to get way worse. And then there's going to be a war. And then America's going to survive, but as a third-rate nation. Now, I said that, and it'll be on the tape, so you'll see. It will happen. And there's other people that see that, too. We've lost it. The leadership is passing to the East, to an ancient culture. Now, I don't know which one. And it's because primarily of abortion. God will not put up with murdering fetuses. So you can save yourself and your loved ones and people who will listen to you by doing what? By receiving Christ as your personal king and doing everything he tells you. Well, how do I know what he's telling me? Well, pray. And don't just yak at God. Pray and keep yourself in an attitude of listening. And if you will commit your way to the Lord, he will guide your steps. He will. Even though he doesn't speak to you, you have given it to him, he will guide your steps. The Bible says he will guide your steps. In the 3rd chapter of Proverbs, he will commit your way to the Lord. And that is what we have to do, because he is our king. King. We are his slaves, servants, whatever you want to call them. Doulos in the Greek, slave. We are his slaves. We do what he says. That's why when I hear about people talking about God in the hands of a man, it's enough to really gravel me. They have no concept of the majesty of God, of Christ. And you're going to come to him and say, I don't think you know what you're doing. I want to tell you what ought to be done. It's terrible. But you see it as humanism has arisen. Here comes this stuff like stepping out in faith. How many have ever heard that expression? God is not asking you to step out in faith. What did I say was a synonym of faith? Obedience. Does that sound like stepping out in faith? Writing a check for $1,000 when you don't have it? Do you know pastors do that? They do it by faith. They step out in faith. I don't have it, but I've done it. And then they go to the congregation and say, if you don't want me in jail, you better put some money in my account. That's what they do. My brothers in the ministry do these kinds of things. Step out in faith. Step out in obedience. If the Lord tells you to do something and you know it's the Lord, you know it's the Lord, you've proven it, you've tested, you have peace about it, and it's not against the Scripture, and you have to exercise faith, then you step out in faith. But you don't create something. You don't say, I think, you know, we were over in that old church for a number of years. I don't know how many years. But when we decided to build here, the council decided to build here, we didn't have the income. We did not have it. We had just enough to survive over there. I'm telling you, it was a Toonerville trolley. 1 month we're in the black, next month we're in the red, next month we're in the black. Toonerville trolley. But we, everyone in that council, knew God wanted us to build this church. Now that was a step of faith. And right then, some dear brothers decided to split from the church because they didn't think we were really preaching enough evangelism. So some heavy hitters left. And here we are. And guess what? The old Toonerville trolley kept going up the hill. 1 month we were in the red. Another month we were in the black. And we were making a mortgage payment of, I think, $4,000 a month. More than we had in the old church. That actually happened. And in something like 3 years, this huge mortgage, this $400,000 we had borrowed, was paid off. And we never made a plea for money. Once a year we'd say, we're taking up an offering to reduce the mortgage. If you feel that you'd like to give, we'd be glad. And I'd say that on the tape. Once a year. No pull. No, I'm going to commit suicide if you don't give. Nothing like that. Just, you know, if it's on your heart, we make our tapes cheap because people contribute their time. That's all. A fourth of that $400,000 came in from tape land. And the mortgage was paid off. But we stepped out in faith. There is that kind of stepping out in faith. The wrong kind is when Jesus was on the roof of the temple. See, that was the wrong kind of stepping out in faith. Satan said, step off, you go down, he'll bury you up in his hands because of the 91st Psalm. But Jesus said, you don't test God. You don't test God. And that's what stepping out in faith is testing God. Unless there has been some kind of, like us, we have six council members and myself, we all knew, and then an incident happened, I don't want to go into it, but we knew God was telling us it was time to go ahead. We didn't have room over there for what we do now, not nearly. And God knew that, and he did it, but we were following the cloud and the fire. We were not getting a good idea and just writing a check when we didn't have the money. But people do that. So, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when you go down through the heroes of faith, you see there is not one instance of creative or presumptuous faith. Not one. It's all obedience. But that's humanism that's come in. God in the hands of a man. Dear God, what a thought. The person that wrote that has no concept of the might of Jesus Christ, let alone the Father. No, Jacob was wrestling because he was scared. And he kept on until he prevailed and God gave him peace. And you can do the same. And you can do the same. But it didn't change God's mind. God never intended for Jacob to be murdered because he had... When he first set out there to go after his bride, God spoke to him and said he would inherit the land. No, even in Nineveh, God's mind was not changed. What was changed was the people. Right? Because God always says, you sin, there's going to be judgment. But the people quit sinning. So I'm for serving the Lord. How about you? Just obeying him. How easy and how wonderful. His commandments are not grievous. Just do what he's, like Mary said, whatever he says to you, do it. Shall we stand? What do we sing, Stan? No communion. I believe the answer's on the way. I believe the Lord has heard me pray. Cast not away your confidence, saith the Lord your God. Now by faith In Him alone I stand, firmly held by His almighty hand, fully trusting in His promise. Praise the Lord. Now, if I get it a little higher, I think that chemo chemo, short for chemotherapy. All right, it's not chemo. And Aunt Jemima and Jason can sing if I get it high. I believe the answer's on the way. I believe the Lord has heard me pray. Cast not away your confidence, saith the Lord your God. Now by faith in Him alone I stand, firmly held by His almighty hand, fully trusting in His promise. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank You that we're living in a day of redemption, when You are ready now to stand up and God will make Your enemies Your footstool. Jesus, that's what we want. But we know it's going to be a way ahead of us because most of the church is not there, Lord, and I don't know how they're going to react. So just help us to behave ourselves, to do what's right, to bear a true witness of God and trust that by the power of the Spirit of God, You will change the minds of Your people from just forgiveness at Christ's expense. Aim the King. We're looking to You to do that, Lord. We can't do it. You have to do it by Your power. But we thank You that You have alerted us so that we can stand during the evil times that are at hand, in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
And everyone got
A plus.
A plus.